being the first one, I didn't want to promise anyone that we would have the recording just in case something went wrong. You know, technology is always a fickle beast. So I thought, I just don't want to quite commit to that yet. I mean, we'll do our absolute best, but yeah, you never know. Like this. Ready for our slides. There we go. Hooray. I'm very much about people kind of, I guess, not interrupting, but jumping in with questions when they have them. So if you do have a question, I think they've got a raise. Yeah, they do have a raise hand function. So raise your hand. I'm really happy to answer questions as we go, or we certainly have, as Megan said, a space at the end for Q&A, particularly because I think today's won't be too long, but we thought it was a nice introduction, talk about what we do here at CC Therapies, and really make sure that we, as I said at the start, are being responsive to the needs of the community, picking topics up that people are interested in or that they feel there's not enough information on. That was something that we were really keen to do with this project. And also as well, the other thing we wanted it to do is to be accessible for everyone. So any type of professional, but you know, not just OTs or people who, you know, particularly work in the NDIS space, but also, you know, parents and carers and participants. Obviously, some of the topics might be geared more towards maybe one of those populations, but you know, there is not too many topics I think we'll say no to unless it's completely out of our wheelhouse. But we're also happy to get other experts in. So even if it's something that we might not be able to talk to ourselves, we have lots of other connections in the community. And if it's something that very much people are asking for, we will do our best to try and bring other guest speakers in. Oh, there we go. All right. Well, with that, we might kick off the formal part. Okay.
No, I'm just going to go over here.
Oh, we might just, sorry. I think, oh, great. Thank you. I did, see, again, I didn't know you could do that. Right. Okay. So I'm assuming everyone can see the slides as well as us, but probably the slides is more important than our faces. So basically, yeah, as I said, today's topic is really about mental health, occupational therapy. As for those of you who do know CC Therapies, we are predominantly mental health occupational therapists. We do have a very lovely psychologist, Rachel, but for the most part, mental health occupational therapist. So a lot of people, firstly, I think the first hurdle is knowing what occupational therapy is. And then the second hurdle is even less people know about mental health OTs. And being a mental health occupational therapy practice, we're very passionate about what we do. So we thought it'd be really nice to kind of run through what it is we do here, as at CC Therapies, what we can offer, but also, I guess, you know, more information about mental health occupational therapists, I guess when to refer to a mental health occupational therapist, some of the differences, all that kind of stuff. Like I said, though, if we're not covering anything, please jump in as we go. So we thought we'd kick off a little bit about CC therapy itself. My name, probably should have done that at the start, shouldn't we? Oh my goodness, you can tell it's our first one because we've got all these wonderful things. That would help. Hello, my name is Hannah. We've got Megan here. So we are both mental health occupational therapists. Danny, you'll just have to imagine he's here, unfortunately, is sick today. We also have our lovely therapy dog, Hugo, who we thought would sit in the place that he was supposed to, but of course, you know, never work with animals or children. We work with both. So we do have Hugo, and he is one of our therapy dogs. But so I am the founder and clinical director here at CC Therapies. So I thought it might be helpful to kind of understand where I come from and I guess CC Therapy's purpose and what our kind of values are. So my background is that I started work in Queensland Health, so particularly sort of in the child and youth mental health space. And what I saw a lot of in Queensland Health, particularly kind of pre that NDIS stuff, was that we had referrals come through that were mental health based, that developmental services are kind of going, oh, that's too much mental health, we'll, you know, send them over to child and youth mental health. And then child and youth mental health would look at them and go, oh no, wait, that's too developmental. Let's kind of throw them back to developmental services. And what you had was this huge kind of back and forth where there wasn't quite a good fit for these young people. And so they were either, you know, losing time, getting shoved on wait lists and going back and forth without getting a service, or they weren't quite meeting the needs. So I really saw a big gap there around how we can give a holistic service to these young people. And particularly, I think that's been really helpful for our neurodiverse population. So neurodiversity, when I'm using that word, I'm talking about those who kind of fall outside what we call our neurotypical umbrella. So we've got diagnoses like autism, ADHD, your learning disabilities like dyslexia, dyscalculia, dysgraphia, all those kind of ones. So, you know, with those young people, and we see this a lot in autism, there is a really big developmental delay in lots of little areas. So, you know, you might have your fine and your gross motor, but you've also got that emotional regulation and social kind of difficulties. So sometimes it's not captured by traditional services. And I guess that's really where I saw mental health occupational therapy coming in, because as occupational therapists, we have that developmental background and we kind of understand all the bits and pieces that make up a whole person, including, you know, how they interact with the environment, you know, what they want to do, all the, you know, bits and pieces, I guess, that make up, you know, the whole person, and how we could really intervene on multiple levels. So that's basically why I founded us. And I'm just making sure that I actually like look at what I've written up here. So as I said, really looking at those kind of traditional services that you might see in pediatric occupational therapy services. So, you know, kind of looking at that sort of stuff. But what we focus a lot on is the emotional and social kind of, I guess, components that make up a person. So nice kind of middle ground there. Over. So might help to know a little bit more about what we do here at CC Therapies. So again, it's, I guess, a bit of the mix of kind of what you would see in a traditional pediatric occupational therapy practice, but as well, also some things that you might see, you know, potentially in mental health or counselling practices or psychology practices. So we do those traditional occupational therapy services within limits. So for example, and I think we talk about this a little further down, we don't specialise in home mods. That's just not something that we do well. I guess we have other services and other occupational therapy teams that we refer on to. But when it comes to that really physical stuff and those type of, you know, physical disabilities, that's probably not where we specialise. So we refer on, but for some kind of, I guess, what I would call, you know, a lot of those developmental delays that we do see, again, with that, you know, neurodiverse population, we do also provide those. So we do some fine motor and some gross motor stuff as it comes up. But as well, on top of that, we also do things like more of that traditional kind of psychotherapy and counselling. So just like you would maybe see at a psychological practice, we have training in some of those psychotherapies. So things that you might have heard of, like CBT, cognitive behavior therapy, acceptance and commitment therapy, dialect behavioral therapy, all that kind of stuff. And we've got play therapy, and I've done family therapy. Those traditional types of therapies that you would look for mental health support, we have training in that area and we can offer a lot of those services. We also do a lot of functional capacity assessments, which, you know, we have mixed feelings about. But again, when you're looking at a functional capacity assessment, so we typically see, that's when we see autistic young people coming through, because it's not just one area of their life that their diagnosis impacts. It's, you know, their ability to do things independently. So their activities of daily living, you know, socializing, getting out and about, there's kind of those multiple areas that get in the way of these young people being able to do what they want to do and what they need to do. So that's really, I guess, where mental health occupational therapists kind of come to shine, is that functional capacity assessments when you're looking at those psychosocial disabilities that we talk about with the NDIS. As you see, Hugo is a big draw card for our young people. So I offer animal assisted therapy, and I know some of the practitioners here are hoping that in the future, when their little puppies grow up, they'll be able to do it too. But I have two beautiful French bulldogs, Hugo, who you see here, and Gaston, who you might have seen on the website. They are very different personalities. Hugo is the very placid cuddle therapy dog, and Gaston is the very enthusiastic play therapy dog. So what's really nice about having both of those is that they kind of come and do really well with different clientele. There's, you know, kids who want to come in and throw the ball around and get really excited and play with Gaston. But then there's also some who just want to sit on the couch and have a cuddle, and that's where Hugo comes in. And I think, again, talking about, we kind of get on to what makes us different. When we're looking at kind of engaging young people, things like therapy dogs and animal assisted therapy is really incredible. I always say they're one of my best investment just as a therapist. The great kind of so many, I guess, benefits of having a therapy dog. It gives you something to talk about, kind of breaks down some of those barriers. Kids feel more comfortable. So animal assisted therapy, I could probably do a whole, actually, if you want a lunch and learn on that, very passionate about that. One of the other things that we do offer here as well is group programs. So it's something we've really only started this year, I'm going to say, but it's something we really enjoy. And again, it's meeting those needs and I guess the goals on multiple levels. So for example, I run a Dungeons and Dragons group, which is a learning curve and I really enjoy. And what I've weaved into that, and I guess what would be different with that group versus, you know, just your Dungeons and Dragons out in the community, is that I'm looking at the emotional goals. So how can we include emotional regulation? How can we look at those executive functions like problem solving and, you know, social thinking? How do we go with that socialization? So we have these groups that engage young people. But again, as occupational therapists, we're thinking about multiple goals and the whole person. In terms of other groups, we've got more coming up on school holidays that we'll post, like board game groups. We've got a Minecraft group. So I almost forgot, Megan runs our Minecraft group. I don't do that because I put it out of my head. My child plays Minecraft at home, so I'm quite happy to pawn that one off onto Megan. But yeah, again, Minecraft is something that our young people are interested in, so they can kind of connect with us and come and join, and you know, we can get them in the door, particularly for those young people who might be a bit resistant to therapy. And we can work on multiple goals. You know, it's a group setting, so they've got that social stuff, emotional regulation, again, that executive function. So we're taking those skills as occupational therapists and putting that through that kind of mental health lens as well. I think that's a lot of what we do. So yeah, lots of creative play. Sensory modulation is the other one that we do a lot of. And I think you talk about that a little bit more in kind of the benefits of mental health occupational therapist, but you might be able to see behind me, we've got this tiny little thing you can see is our sensory room. So one of the things I'm sure Megan will kind of elaborate on is using that sensory modalities to really help with that mental health setting. So we all really love sensory interventions here. It's fantastic. So again, it's something that we use a lot of and kind of is set up in the clinic. There we go. I've kind of touched on this, but oh goodness, again, you can tell this is our pilot program because I'm like, I can't read what I've written. So I apologize if I'm about to get really close to the camera. So again, some of the things I've talked about here, but what makes us different? And I guess why I wanted to touch on this is when I created Sisu Therapies, there were a lot of things that I had in mind. And from working with young people for a long time, it was really important that, you know, I guess I was taking on the feedback that young people were giving me about going to traditional therapy services and why that didn't work for them. So the big one was that a lot of my teenagers were coming to me and saying, I hate going to like traditional counseling or psychology kind of services where it's a blank, tiny room and I sit on the couch and I talk and it just makes me feel really uncomfortable. And that's definitely what we've seen, particularly with our like autistic clients or, you know, ADHD clients that need to move, or, you know, I work a lot with kids with trauma backgrounds. Having a really small room where it's just white walls can be quite difficult. And then if you've got that difficulty, coming into therapy and you've already got a lot of difficulty opening up, you're kind of putting yourself on the back foot. So when I designed the layout, I guess, of Sisu Therapies, I made sure our rooms were really big, really homely. We've got a beautiful location. So I'm not sure if anyone here is familiar with Beenleigh in the Logan area, but we're on top of the post office. And so we've got a lot of greenery around us, even though we're in a very central built up kind of place. So all these beautiful windows that you can look out and see trees. It really makes a difference to engaging in therapy. In the first picture there, that's where Megan and I are sitting. So that's got the big jungle gym area. So again, thinking about the types of young people we see, and often we do, we really like seeing kids who don't want to come to therapy. For some reason, that's our favorite. It's a challenge. We love it.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I was really conscious of is the sensory needs of these young people. So we have this huge, great swing set and we can sub in and out. We've got that beautiful sensory room, which you can see there. And again, it's just about meeting the needs of these young people, because coming in and talking about what's going on for you is incredibly hard. And I think we owe it to the young people as therapists to make them feel as comfortable and welcome as possible. So that was really important for me. You can see a beautiful picture there of Gaston not being energetic, which is incredible. I can't believe he's sitting for two photos. We have lots of creative therapy. So like I mentioned, Minecraft, Dungeons and Dragons, that's yoga that we're doing there. We are all trained in a bunch of different therapy modalities. So play therapy, you know, we've got our sensory modalities, we've got those traditional psychotherapies, because what we use, I guess, is very much about what matches the individual. And some young people really respond to one type of therapy, some need different types. So really, when I was designing the space and also how we service these young people, it was about meeting them where they're at and also meeting them in their therapy needs flexibly. What else have I got? Oh, one of the things that's really key to us, and the more you listen to us talk, you poor things, the more you listen to us talk, hopefully this will become evident, but we are very much about neurodiverse affirming practice. We'll probably talk, I think we've got another one. We've been requested to talk a little bit more about neurodiversity and what neurodiverse affirming practice looks like. But in a nutshell, again, so it's neurodiverse umbrellas, and what we know from the community giving feedback is that they don't want therapy that might be more like a traditional kind of like very structured social skills group, let's say, where it's like you need to learn these things to fit in and kind of mask. We know that that doesn't work, that that actually doesn't help the mental health of that neurodiverse community. So we're really listening and responsive to what that community is telling us and how we can integrate that into therapy. So very much coming along with what are your goals and how can we help? And I think that's one of the areas that mental health occupational therapy really shines. You know, we're really looking at the whole person. It's about putting that person at the center of our interventions and looking at them as a whole person as well. So that's really important to us. And the other thing that is really key is LGBTQIA plus affirming practice. So gender affirming healthcare, making sure we have inclusive spaces, really being conscious about how we can service that community and make sure it's a really welcoming and supportive place. I'm just going to say, I think I've kind of said everything there. Really, you know, we're really about basically meeting the needs of the kids where they are. So as well, if any kid kind of comes in and is like, hey, I'd like to do this, or can you change this, or can you get this resource? We're like, yeah, absolutely, we can do that. And so we love the creativity. That's kind of, I guess, another skill of the mental health occupational therapist is being very adaptable. Have I talked? Yes, definitely happy to hand over to Megan. That's a lot of me talking.
Cool. So I think, like I said, my name's Megan. I'm one of our mental health OTs here at Sisu Therapies. I think Hannah spoke a little bit already about some of like the what is mental health OT and some of the things that we do. There's a whole lot of writing up there, but I'm not going to read it word for word. That was more just like, here, if you want to read while listening, feel free to do that. But yeah, mental health OTs, mental health occupational therapists focus on helping the individuals improve and help them to engage in the things that matter for them in their everyday life. So what we would call occupations, but that's just the things that people, you know, need to do every day, like getting themselves to school and you know, showering, looking after themselves at home, hanging out with friends, all that stuff that's really important for them. So I think the way that mental health OTs can come in and be a little bit unique, and I know Hannah has already mentioned that OTs do that typically in pediatrics and with young people will do that developmental stuff, you know, supporting people with developmental needs. But the way that mental health OT can come in there as well is we go, okay, so they have these developmental needs, also these mental health needs. How can we work on them both simultaneously at the same time? They often, you'll find, and I'm sure if you've worked with any young people before who have both of these needs, you'll find that they're all overlapping. So that can be a really nice place for mental health OT to come in and be like, okay, let's work on both ends at the same time. I like to say to young, some of my young people or some of my families or clients or friends who ask me what we do is I'll say, you know, we can do a similar sort of work maybe to a counselor, psychologist in terms of that mental health stuff, but we'll just come at it from a different lens. So we're really looking at how can we help you do the things you need to do? How can we get you back to the stuff that's important for you? And if that means doing some of those traditional psychotherapies to get you there, we'll do that. If that means taking a more sensory approach to get there, we'll do that. If that means a combination of all sorts of different things, that's where we'll sort of come in. So yeah, I've kind of mentioned a lot of the stuff that's on there. But yeah, one of our bread and butter things that we do as OTs in general is looking at people's environments. And that can be a really nice place for us to slot in again in the mental health space, looking at, okay, how is the person's environment in all that looks like? How is that impacting their life, their mental health, and how can we support them or adapt things or change things or add different, the word's gone from my brain, changes, adaptions to help them live their life as best they can. So our mental health OTs, to become endorsed through OT Australia, you have to do additional training and additional professional development and all sorts of things. And you have to be able to prove through a very large document that you have experience in mental health and that you have the qualifications and the ability to provide mental health services. And then once you're endorsed through OT Australia and have that tick of approval, we are then able to bill under mental health care plans and provide services to our people, young people and clients using that service, which I think is really, really helpful. It's really able to open the service up and make it more accessible to a lot of our young people. But OTs, you can also, which we'll talk a little bit later on, we can be accessed through a bunch of different ways as well. And yeah, with that, under that mental health care plan endorsement umbrella, we have to also do continuing professional development. So if you're sending someone to one of the mental health OTs, you can be assured that they've done lots of training, they have to continue their training. Yeah, they know what they're doing. They've got all the skills. And then for NDIS participants as well, seeing a mental health occupational therapist can be good because it can, again, provide them that holistic mental health OT treatment and can help them when it can be a really nice fit for those ones who do have the developmental needs and the social, emotional, psychosocial needs and can kind of fit really nicely together when they have both of those goals and the mental health OT can work on them both together. So I thought I'd give a really quick example of, I mean, this is one of lots and lots of examples we could give, but a really brief sort of case study of one of my young people that I've worked with. So I had a 13-year-old client. They presented with anxiety, some family relationship challenges, weren't attending school. Also, again, like Hannah was saying, we love the ones who don't really want to come to therapy, but they weren't keen on going to therapy. They were not keen on it at all, but that's okay. We took a very nice occupation-based approach to therapy. So it was very like craft. We didn't really talk about anything mental health at all. It was all very occupation focused. We made all sorts of things. We kept it really, really met them where they were at in that time. And then as they were feeling ready, we started just focusing more on the practical things, like, you know, what's bothering you at home? How can we help you with that really practically? Not going to school, how can we help you get to school really practically? We don't have to talk about our feelings too much. We can kind of keep it nice and practical. But after time and after engagement with mental health OT, by the end we were able to get them, they were re-engaged in school, going about three times a week. They were happy to talk more a little bit about, you know, oh, I am feeling a little worried about this, I am feeling anxious about this. They were open to talk about some of their family relationship challenges, and then in the end then went on to study at TAFE, which is really, really cool. So I think that's one of many stories of where mental health OT can come in and support young people where they're at, maybe take a slightly different approach to maybe some other therapies might. So when to refer, this is just some, again, examples of when it might be suitable to refer to a mental health OT, for yourself, for young people you're working with, or family members or whatnot. So when traditional talk therapy maybe isn't just the most suitable. Maybe they've given it a go, it's not really working for them, they're finding that they're not picking up what they're putting down, or, you know, whatever it is, so that it just may not be working for them. Or maybe they aren't just quite ready for traditional talk therapies, like they don't. Maybe it's an age thing, maybe it's, just where they're at in their life, they're not quite ready for that. I think a mental health OT can be a really nice place for them to go, because, like I said, we can take all sorts of different approaches. When their mental health is really significantly impacting on their ability to do their occupations or do the things that they need to do every day, so they're really maybe unable to get out of bed, unable to go to school, really struggling to look after themselves, those sorts of things, that can be a really great place for a mental health OT to come in. And provide that support, really focusing. We can then focus on, let's help you getting back to doing those things, looking after yourself, doing those things that are important for you that might make you feel a little bit better. And then when we can, and where we can, we'll slot in some more of those other therapies where appropriate. And like, as Hannah's mentioned, it's typically helpful for our neurodivergent folks, so ADHD, autistic people, people with dyslexia, all sorts of the umbrella of neurodivergence, can be a really nice approach for them. And especially Hannah was mentioning before that we will often take a sensory approach with a lot of our clients, particularly our autistic and neurodivergent folk, because taking that approach, that sensory approach, it can often, again, we'll probably do another lunch and learn on sensory modulation and what that all kind of looks like. But taking that more sensory modulation approach can sometimes cut through some of those other challenges. So we have young people who would be like, okay, well, what are your thoughts and how are you thinking, like, when you're noticing, like, if you're feeling anxious, what are you thinking about? And they'll be like, no idea, I can't notice my thoughts, or I don't even know how I'm feeling in my body, how am I meant to, you know, do thought challenging when I don't know what my thoughts are? We're like, okay, well, maybe let's take a different approach here, and we might be able to go, let's use some sensory strategies instead to sort of help give you some techniques and some strategies to help manage how you're feeling and help you get back to the things that are important for you. And then, yeah, when they have both mental health and occupational therapy or functional goals, both at the same time, that's when, again, a really nice place where you can refer to a mental health OT. And then we can kind of do both and, because, again, we have a lot of young people, particularly those who have an NDIS support package, they might be seeing four different therapists. And that's a lot of appointments, and that's a lot of people to know, that's a lot of people to build relationships with, a lot of people to build rapport with. And so if we have some of those young people who we might be able to see a mental health OT instead of seeing three other professionals, perhaps, that can be a really nice space for mental health OTs to jump in as well. And something that I didn't put on there, but when we wouldn't perhaps refer to a mental health OT, is if there are significant, like, more physical disabilities going on where we need home modifications or equipment prescription, things like that, that's definitely not our bread and butter. But if you were to call us up and say, hey, I've got this person, these are their needs, we will be able to direct you to where to go.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, well, we've recently connected with one of the other, they're a whole allied health service, so higher health down the road, and they more specialize in that. So they have occupational therapists. I think they just hired a new one. They kind of got some transitions going. But it's really good because we work together. So it's like, even if we have a client, we can still share them. So I might come in and do that piece around the mental health and the social goals and the executive function goals. And then I might say, hey, actually, you know, we've got these other issues. Is that where you guys can jump in? And they'll go, yeah, let's do that. They've got other, like, physios, exercise physiologists and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So they can jump in and do that piece of work. But they've also referred clients over to us. So they've got this referral and they were looking at it and they go, actually, a mental health occupational therapist would be really good here because, again, can look at those social emotional goals and kind of that's more the stuff that's going on for them. That's really the focus. We'll refer over to CSU Therapies. We collaborate really well. So it is one of those things where we try and basically collaborate and work together as a team to make sure that, the needs are met. And we're quite happy to say when something isn't for us, One of the things I forgot to mention about what makes us so great and different is that we have an intake process. And the reason that I set that up initially is because anyone who works with or in the NDIS knows how stressful that can be. So a lot of the time, parents were ringing me and going, I don't know. Someone said I need an OT. I think I need an OT. I don't know what I need. I don't know. You know, they've just given me a bunch of numbers and I Googled it and this is where I'm at. And what we do is we sit down and we sort of go through in that initial phone call and we say, okay, tell me about your young person. Tell me about what their needs are. And we'll see if we're the right service for you. And sometimes we're not. And it's really important that I think we don't just take on referrals because they've come to us. It's really important that we sort of say, are we the best fit? We talk about our practice. We make sure they're not allergic to dogs because we go drop spur everywhere. But we have a no wrong door policy, which again was something that was really important to me from working in health and, you know, Queensland Health, because there's nothing more frustrating as a parent that when you reach out for help and parents are busy, and if you've got a child on the NDIS, your life's probably busier. You know, you're juggling multiple things. So the last thing I wanted to do is, you know, a parent to finally take the plunge, call someone and ask for help and then be like, nope, and just hang up, which unfortunately has happened. So with no wrong door policy, if we can't help you, we will try and find a service that can. You know, often that's just referring to other community services. We have other professionals that we're linked in. We try and network as much as we can. So basically that means that we're not completely just dropping these families, you know, back into the deep end of the ocean. So it's really important for us that that's a huge focus, is we have that conversation before you come in. We check that we're the right service. And if we're not, we actually give you some information before we send you on the way. And I think that is one of the favorite things about this service. You know, parents are just so grateful. No, not just parents, like, you know, people who come in, even though we don't have a lot of walk-in, sometimes people are just overwhelmed. They're like, I don't know what to do. It's like, okay, let's sit down and work it out with you. And I just think that's so important to support people. And that's the other thing, is that as a service, we work really hard to make sure that we're not making your life harder. Again, one of the things I didn't mention, but of course I remembered while Megan was talking, is that because we have multiple therapists and because we have Rachel, our psychologist, who specializes more in kind of, I guess, women's and adult mental health, what we try and do is if you have multiple people who need to come in and see us, we try and streamline those appointments. So, you know, if you're a parent, you can come see us, you can get support with Rachel because parenting is hard on a good day. You can talk about your stuff with her. We can see the kids. If they're siblings, we'll often split them up. And it's really nice because it just takes something else off your plate. And again, when you're looking at people and family and mental health, what we don't want to do is make your life harder. We want you to come in and, you know, feel supported and welcome. So that's what we try and do a lot of. And Rachel and I are also trained in family therapy. We're working to kind of upskill everybody else in that, something we're very passionate about. But Rachel and I are both familiar with family therapy. And so, again, if she's seeing mum, I'm seeing the kid, we can have a chat. We can work out how we can support everyone. We're in-house, so it's easy to collaborate. We're not chasing each other. We'll just poke our head into the room. And it means we can offer a family therapy service. So, again, that's something that I really, really love about our service. And also, with Rachel, you know, if there's more of that, like if there's a specific need around, there's not too many times we've referred over to her when we've got a referral. But I guess the other thing we don't do is like traditional psychology assessments, like a WISC. So a cognitive assessment, not something that obviously we do because it's definitely out of our wheelhouse. But we also have links to the community, or we can chat to Rachel about how to support that.
Cool. And then the last sort of main thing around how to refer, if you have a young person in mind that you think would be helpful to refer, I guess we'll start with us at CC Therapies. You can contact us there on our email or phone call, check out our website. There's information there as well. But we can support people under mental health care plan, under GP chronic disease management plan, which is a little bit different, but we can also support people under them. They get a rebate for that. If they're privately paying and don't have access to the GP plans, we're also happy to see them as well. And then if there are any NDIS self-managed or plan managed participants, we're able to see them under that as well. But if, say there are a young person and you're wanting to refer them, or maybe they're not a young person, maybe they're, because I guess our specialty age bracket, I don't know if we said this, is between 3 to 25. So that's kind of, again, where our main clientele lie. That's where our expertise is in, the young people. So if you say have someone who's an adult who you think actually mental health OT would be great for them, again, they would have access to these same, their access mental health care plans or the GP chronic disease management plans through other mental health OTs and other services as well. And so if you're needing support trying to find a mental health OT, maybe for an adult, feel free to, again, to reach out to us, and we'll either say, oh yeah, that's actually something we can do. No, that's not quite in our specialty, but we can help you find someone who can. But yeah, if you have anyone specifically for us, or you're just wanting to ask about, I think I have someone maybe for a mental health OT, not quite sure if it's going to be suitable, give us a call and we're happy to help. Happy to help out with that.
And we do telehealth as well.
Yeah.
Again, another thing making sure services are accessible is really important to us. And so that means, we completely understand and see that rural and regional need and just the lack of services, and so stressful. So we do that kind of telehealth service. When Megan was talking as well, I did think, yeah, I've taken on a few people beyond that bracket just recently. Mm. And that's really been because what we kind of know now, and I'm sure people have seen this as well in, like, the media, is that we have been, as medical professionals, really, really bad at picking up autism, particularly in girls, and ADHD in girls. So there are a lot of adults who are in their 30s, maybe even above, who've just started this journey of getting a diagnosis. So even though they would be, I guess, outside our traditional bracket, I've started taking on more of those clients because they're at the start of their journey. So they've kind of, even though they're older, a lot of the things they're experiencing are very similar to maybe what we're seeing in younger populations and families. And again, it's that really lovely thing where occupational therapists can, come in, we can talk, we can do all those traditional psychotherapies, but we can also say, hey, how is this affecting your life? Sometimes these people are parents. And so parenting, again, with these challenges, how can we help your activities of daily living? How can we help you with that kind of emotional component? How can we manage to fit in self-care? How can we help you with those executive functions? So yeah, it's really interesting that that's such a growing area. Mm-hmm. And so I've just all of a sudden started seeing more of those referrals, and I've kind of gone, yeah, actually that is a service we can do. But yeah, we have Rachel as well, which is good. So that's all our details. I think the Better Access Mental Health Care Plans, that is a great avenue to access our services. It's very hard because I think some GPs don't quite know that mental health occupational therapists exist and that we can take those mental health care plans. So for those of you who may not be familiar with what we're talking about, the mental health care plans are when you go to the GP, they fill out the care plan, you get the 10 sessions. So it's like 6, and then you go back and get the 4. And traditionally, they are for psychologists. And psychologists can absolutely take them. That's how you access them. But you can also access mental health social workers or a mental health occupational therapist. So, there's a lot of issues as well around wait lists. And, everyone is just so busy. And I think NDIS has been fantastic, but wait lists are huge. So sometimes what we found is families are trying to look for a psychologist because their GP's gone, here's a mental health care plan, off you go find a psychologist. And they're going, I don't know, my kid's not sure about this. You guys look like you're pretty cool, you've got dogs and stuff, and we can take those plans. So sometimes it does actually start off as a traditional psychological kind of referral from the GP with those mental health care plans, and we jump on board and have a look at that. And again, we always make sure that we are the appropriate service. And again, wonderful having Rachel, because if we have a question, if we're like, actually, is this us or you, we can have those conversations. And by that way, we're also giving safe practice. Again, we're not just taking on referrals. It's like, are we appropriate? And the nice thing as well, which I like to think that we have some other professions, is that we can take those 10 sessions, so your mental health care plans, and then you can go get a chronic disease management plan, which I hate the name of, but that's another 5 sessions. So you know, particularly when they cut down post-COVID, those mental health care plans, they used to be 20 during COVID and then they put them back to 10, which was horrible. But at least for our families, they can go get a mental health care plan and then get a chronic disease management plan or vice versa. And then that way they have 15 Medicare rebated services. It's, I think as well, it's 10 on the chronic disease management plan for people who have Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, healthcare cards. So as well, you know, it's really good because again, we can kind of provide those extended services and our groups as well, because they're run by mental health occupational therapists who are accredited, you can get the rebates on that as well. So, you know, we know groups are expensive. I think they're really good bang for your buck though, in terms of therapy, because you get longer and it is less than a one-on-one therapy session, but you can also use your rebates for that. So again, it's about finding creative ways that we can work with families to make that funding go further. And we completely understand, you know, it's a cost of living crisis. People are where they are kind of like cutting back on those health services, which is awful because everyone's mental health is so vulnerable at the moment. So we try and work with the community. We look at doing things where we can, like sliding scales. So working out, you know, what we can do to support them. We do payment plans. We don't do it through Afterpay. We just do it ourselves because if you're coming in monthly and you need to, you know, it's a big amount of money out of pocket. If you can break that up, that's just something, again, that makes someone's life easier. And if that's the difference between accessing mental health support and not accessing mental health support, I would much rather work with a family about what they can do. And that also goes to the challenges of NDIS, where it's this double whammy where you can't access NDIS unless you have these assessments, but you can't pay for the assessments unless you have NDIS. So a lot of families are stuck in this situation where they want access because, of course, they need access and they qualify, but they might not have access to health professionals who can provide them the evidence. So they get caught in this trap of like, how do I get onto this system, you know, that I can't use? And again, we work really closely with these families. So we sort of talk about, you know, these are the Medicare things we can do. There's also some other stuff you can get from like a pediatrician around neurodevelopmental services. I always forget the name of that one. So we can say, okay, go and get this plan, and then we can work within your budget to kind of at least give you something so you can take these appointments, and we will very much be focused on something. So this is your budget, this is your need. Let's work with that so that you can go and actually access the system. And again, so important, like we have a really big community focus. Again, I forgot to mention, we really value, and the way that I've set up the company is that it's like a social enterprise. What we do is we have these services, but also we want to give back and invest in our community. That's something that's really important for me. I live in Logan. Actually, I think lots of us, we live in Logan. So, you know, I've got a daughter, she goes to school here. I live and work here. When I was in Queensland Health, I was, you know, in this district as well. So it's something I'm really passionate about, is those kind of social issues. So for us, it's about doing that extra stuff in the community. Things like lunch and learn, like how can we help support the community? We're supporting the Loud and Proud Festival, which is a Pride Festival coming up in October. We've been making sure we are volunteering with that. We're hopefully going to do some more stuff with Youth Justice, linking in with our Kim's colleagues, so much stuff. So that's something that's really important to us. And again, I think that kind of adds to the community and sort of adds to the heart and soul of our service, because we're able to give these better experiences to everyone. I think very much the way we approach this is mental health is a community issue. We need to have healthy, kind of happy people in the community. For, you know, it can't just be this one-on-one therapy. We need to make sure we have those systemic supports in place, you know, so people and young people can keep doing well. And again, that's really that occupational therapy focus, where it's like, okay, it's not just the one person coming to us with this diagnosis. They are a whole person with lots of different aspects to their life, you know, lots of different, you know, layers to how they're going. You know, these are the things they want to do. So very much as occupational therapists, again, we're focusing on those occupations. How can we help them access these? but then the environment, and that includes the community. So I guess there's been a lot of information in this session. I completely acknowledge that. I think the recording's worked. So you can definitely go back, but absolutely happy if you've got questions or been like, Hannah, you talked too quickly through that. I have no idea what you're talking about. Please let me know. I know I'm a fast talker, but I guess if there's some takeaway, it would definitely be that occupational therapists, as mental health occupational therapists, I think we're wonderful because we fill lots of goals. You know, we've got that overlap with pediatric occupational therapists, but we do have a lot of that training with the psychotherapies. So again, when you're looking at things like CBT, DBT, which is dialectic behavior therapy, which is the, I guess, the gold standard for borderline personality disorder. So I've got advanced training in that. Acceptance and commitment therapy, which Megan's also got on board now. We've got that kind of that traditional stuff that many psychologists use, but we've just got a holistic lens. So instead of maybe looking at the diagnosis, so like a top-down approach where it's like the diagnosis, this is the psychotherapies we would look at. So that's maybe like a psychological point of view. We're occupational therapists. So we're like, okay, what do you want to do? What do you need access with? Okay. So one of the things that is a barrier is your mental health. How can we help with that? Okay, I can use a psychotherapy to teach you some skills, but also I can go and help you with your environment. Maybe there's some things we can do with school. You know, maybe I can change the activities you're doing to make it easier for you. So again, there's a lot of similarities. It's just the way you go about it. So I think it's one of those things. We work nicely together. You know, no one replaces the other. It's just about the young person or anyone and kind of what their needs are. So that was a lot of us talking. Q&A, like I said, I know that is just so much information. That is the downside of having an hour, but we really wanted to make sure that we could, you know, make it accessible. So again, the idea with lunch and learn is that you can sit there, eat your lunch, listen to us talk. Don't know how that's relaxing, but anyway, a whole Hugo up at the end so you can get the cute dog in. But yeah, so lots of information in a really short amount of time. So definitely please hit us up with questions. Yeah, you can put them in the chat if you also don't want to put your camera on and speak up. I definitely know that's something I like to do in Zooms. I don't, especially when I'm like having my lunch, I'm like, I'm just going to put it in the chat. So yeah, please put those questions up for us.
I'll stop the recording now as well. So you know that if you do